You're listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland, an international faith-based show comprising music, news and interviews from all over the world.
Hi, I'm Robert McCulloch. Welcome to show 13 of our In the Name of God series. Once again, we have a variety of music, today from Israel, Missouri, USA, and from here in Northern Ireland. And we begin another two-part interview, this time with Carl Anderson from Minnesota, whom I interviewed when he was over recently to minister to young people in Belfast. We also have our usual faith-based news feature, Red News International. We've been getting lots of your emails, which are always very encouraging. You can read them on our website. We started the show today with Mazmuru Hamding, a song of thanksgiving, a contemporary Jewish band from Israel. And we'll have more great music for you in a wee minute. But let me first introduce my guest, Carl Anderson. Carl lives near Buffalo, Minnesota, and runs the top wedding video business in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, as well as his ministry, Born to Blaze, which has taken him all over the world, bringing revival fire to many. He is often referred to as the Viking, and as you'll see, we've known each other for many years.
We've known each other how long now?
16 plus years. We've known each other.
That's a long time. That is a long time. Is it true that you first started preaching when you didn't really know the Lord?
I did. I began preaching the gospel at the age of 17 in a very traditional church background, Protestant arena. I was just a good boy, you know, prayed three times a day, did my penance, whatever. And I remember preaching about love. I knew nothing about experientially, but it sounded good from the pulpit. And 3 years later, home one night from a dinner appointment with some friends, and they had this life. They had the life of God in them, something that I did not have. And I had a great religious thing with God. Like, I worshipped Him from a distance, and I could never know Him intimately until this one night, got on my knees, locked the door, turned the lights out. 15 seconds of prayer, I just said, "Lord, I know You're real. Come in my heart and make Yourself real to me." And instantly, the light of God birthed and shone inside of me, and it was like the room lit up, but I couldn't see any difference in the natural. Just in the spirit, I was alive, and I woke up the next morning, and everything looked different to me. That was just 3 years later when I was 20.
I take it that had an impact on your preaching then?
Just a wee little bit, yes. In fact, my next preaching assignment after I met the Lord, I remember I was at the chapel of the college I was going to, a very religious school. It was amazing. I had people come up to me saying, "You found your calling. You gave a message today. I've never heard anybody talk like that." I had people say, "I will never invite you back here." I caused a revival and a riot my first big time.
Sometimes that's a good sign as well, when they don't invite you back.
That's right.
You hit the nail on the head.
That's it.
Jesus had that effect.
Yes.
I first met you 16 years ago, and it was in Dublin?
It was in Dublin. Yes, that's right. I was invited to an estate that Youth of the Mission was holding a unique kind of weekend of ministry for Catholic young people.
Had you had any contact with young Catholics, or with any Catholics really at that time?
No, that was
I kind of imagine this guy's coming from a fairly conservative evangelical.
Very conservative, very evangelical. My only experience up until that moment with the Catholic world was that there was a Catholic church across the street from my house when I grew up. And my best friend was Catholic, and I know he went to Mass and did all these things which I had no concept of what he was doing.
We, for various reasons, were delayed arriving there, and I kind of imagined this poor guy's been thrown in the deep end and he'd have left. And so we, with great trepidation, we arrived down the next morning at the camp, and Carl's running things, you know, you're running around pretending to be Russian, as far as I can remember. You dropped that now? You've dropped the Russian person?
Well, it all depends on who you talk to.
Jimmy Treadwell and Ed Conlon were the guys
that's right.
in control.
Jamie and Ed, yeah.
And some others. You just seemed to gel with them? Is that what happened?
I must be Irish somewhere if you go back far enough. I'm probably a bit Irish because...
The hair would be a clue, would it?
The hair might be a little clue. Certainly, yeah. We hung out. I really come to serve wherever I go, and I turned up at the camp and I basically submit myself to the leadership and said, you know, I'm here as an evangelist. It's my first missions trip to this nation, but I'm here to serve. And any way you want to put me to work, I'll do toilets, I'll pray, you name it. That seemed to go over very well.
Looking back now on that 16 years back, the Lord just put you in the right place or what?
It was a great start. It was a great start. In fact, what happened is I met these guys called Ronan Johnson and Rojo, as he's known, in the Emmaus community. They were leading the worship. We became friends. I ended up ministering to Ronan's sister, and she got some deliverance, some inner healing, and things went so well that the next year they invited me into the camp.
What are you looking for? What do you haven't found? What do you think is missing? What hasn't already let you down? Haven't you been around? Haven't you had enough? Haven't you lost the pieces? Haven't you tried to pick them up? Some grow cold, some turn back, some waste another day. Stay down, some throw it all away, some acquire the fire. Didn't you want to quit? Didn't you try again? Didn't you taste the failure? Didn't you see the end begin? Couldn't you see the edge? Couldn't you break the fall? Couldn't you see it coming? Couldn't you hear the warning call? Some grow cold, some turn back, some waste another day. Yeah, some mess up, some stay down, some throw it all away, some acquire.
A good challenging song there from Jennifer Haycraft, a worship songwriter from St. Louis, Missouri, and a choir.
Red News International.
In this bulletin, an Iranian has a vision of Jesus, and second wave of deportations hits foreign Christians in Morocco. Jerry McCulloch reports.
Report from Compass Direct News. In a second wave of deportations from Morocco, officials of the majority Muslim country have expelled 26 foreign Christians in the last 10 days without due process. Following the expulsion of more than 40 foreign Christians in March, the deportations were apparently the result of Muslim hardliners pressurizing the nation's royalty to show Islamic solidarity. The latest deportations bring the number of Christians who have had to leave Morocco to about 105 since early March. Christians and expert observers are calling this a calculated effort to purge the historically moderate country, known for its progressive policies, of all Christian elements, both foreign and national. "I don't see the end," said Salim Safiani, a Moroccan living abroad. "I see this as a cleansing of Christians out of Morocco, and then I see this turning against the Moroccan church, which is already underground, and then persecution of Moroccan Christians, which is already taking place in recent days. At least two Moroccan Christians have been beaten in the last 10 days," sources told Compass.
An Iranian has a vision of Jesus. Report from morethandreams.org. Even as a small child, Khosrow questioned the meaning of life. Everything around him raised questions. Why do flowers have colour? What's beyond the stars? Where do we go when we die? But no one could answer as many questions satisfactorily. His sensitive nature gave way to a growing depression. One day, as a young man, he passed by an Assyrian Christian church and decided to go inside, thinking he might find answers to some of his questions. There were only a few elderly women there, and an elderly pastor who gave him a box of books. The books were all in Farsi, and among them was a copy of the New Testament, which Khosrow read from cover to cover. But reading alone was not enough to satisfy his search for answers. He threw the book across his room in despair. Just then, the form of a man came to him in a vision, extended his hands towards Khosrow and told him, "Take my hands, and everything will change forever." Khosrow took the man's hands, and a wave of what he described as electricity flowed through his body. Kneeling, he began to weep, making such a noise that his parents rushed to the room. They were flabbergasted to see their son crying for the first time in many, many years. Khosrow's vision was not a figment of his imagination. He returned to the Assyrian pastor who had given him the books and described his experience. Over the following years, Khosrow grew as a disciple of the Lord, eventually becoming a pastor himself. But the persecution of Christians in Iran forced him to flee to Turkey with his wife and two children. There were persecutions and difficulties in Turkey as well, but Khosrow and his family won people over through patience and love. Khosrow planted more churches in Turkey before he and his family were forced to flee again. This time they sought refuge in Austria. They flew from Turkey to Bosnia and made their way from there on foot through treacherous mountain passes at night. While crossing a river, Khosrow's son Joseph lost his footing on a makeshift bridge and fell into the freezing water, dragging his father in as well. The river was fast flowing and deep, and Khosrow flailed about in the dark water, searching in vain for his son. Meanwhile, his wife had also jumped into the river to help, but was in danger of drowning. Suddenly, Khosrow felt as if someone put Joseph into his arms. He also felt as if someone, invisible to his eyes, was helping him stand in the deep water, then helping him carry Joseph to the river's embankment. All were saved, and the family made their way to Austria and safety.
More information on these and other Bread News stories at kingdomcome.org.uk/news.
Let's hear some more now from Carl and his second visit to that group of young people in Dublin.
They said, "Carl, why don't you lead us in a workshop on the Holy Spirit? These are 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old Catholics. They've never been exposed to the Holy Spirit. You're obviously flowing in this kind of ministry. Would you do a workshop?" I said, "Absolutely." I was not a main stage guy, just doing the workshop. So I turned up at the workshop, and Tony, and he began to play his guitar. And as he played his guitar, there's about 40, 50 odd youth in the room. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, "I am going to come in the room just sovereignly during the next chorus. Would you just please tell the people to prepare for my entering the room?" Never heard that before from anybody. Or the Lord. So, just in my heart, you know, again, the ancient Celts had this way of relating to God where they could just sort of attune themselves to hearing God like that. So I said to the people, "Just prepare your hearts. The next song Tony's going to sing here, the Lord says he's coming." About 3 minutes later, we began to sing that chorus, and I'll never forget, here we are in the estate, business as usual, just a regular workshop for Catholic youth, and the power of God sweeps in the room. And almost instantaneously, things broke out in revival. To my right, about 3 14-year-old girls slumped down to the floor under God's power and began to flop and shake and tremble like flopping fish on the deck. Over to my left, about 4 young men slumped down. A couple of them fell over. Nobody was praying for them. They just sovereignly got hit by God. They had never even been taught on what the gift of tongues is, and they began to speak in tongues. And for about 15 minutes, the Spirit is doing things all over the room. And I'm just standing up there with my arms out saying, Lord, awesome, keep going.
Do it.
Do it, Lord. This was in the summer, by the way, of the same year in January that the Toronto blessing had broken out. So somehow God was using me as a vessel in Ireland to deliver to the young people a bit of this new blessing, which was not necessarily central to Toronto. I believe it was a worldwide move.
You hadn't been to Toronto?
I had never been to Toronto, never been there yet, but the Spirit yet was doing this. My favorite part of this was at the very back of the room, there was a 16-year-old young man covered in chains, upside-down crosses, satanic stuff, black leather. He was the troublemaker. Everybody in the camp knew him as the one guy that was just there to cause trouble. That's all he did in every meeting. The speaker would be speaking. He would be, you know, confronting the speaker. He is watching this happen, and I'm watching the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit moves to the back of the room, and all of a sudden, he starts to shake, and the chains start rattling, and he's looking around, and his face turns beet red, and all the students that knew him sort of started to turn like, you know, look at him, he's getting hit, and he literally could not stand the mighty power of God in his life. He jumped up, leapt out of his back row, came up the center, bodies were all over the place, brushed past me, and ran out the door. And I thought, well, I better send a counselor. So I sent one of the leaders out with him. And turns out he gave his heart to Christ that day, prayed to receive the Lord. The next day, they had to set up a tent just for deliverance and healing because the Spirit moved from this room to the main stage and people started to break open with tears and get set free from things. And the next year, I got invited back to the camp. And that young man was now 17. He had become the ringleader for Jesus in his school and brought like 8 mates with him the next year to be touched. And he was now an evangelist and flowing in the things of the Spirit. All I did was listen to God and obey. And that's really become the hallmark of what I do for the Lord. People try to put me in some kind of a box. Yeah. I'm just known as the Viking. And when the Viking comes to town, all he does is going to listen to God for you and try to bring something fresh from the Word and from the Spirit.
I believe up to the rolling hills, up to where my help comes from. My safety comes down from the living one who created the heavens and the earth. I will lift my eyes up to the rolling hills, up to where my help comes from. My safety comes down from the living one who created the heavens and the earth. Up to the rolling hills, up to where my help comes from.
one of my own songs there for a change. I Will Lift My Eyes Up. Now, the final part for this week of our interview with Carl.
And that kind of developed from that period back in Dunleary to what, Europe and major Catholic conferences.
That's right. Yeah, I got invited from there and went over to Europe and covered many countries there. I did some national Catholic charismatic leadership events.
And obviously these guys had no problem that you weren't a Catholic. You know,
absolutely not.
Just one of the spirit.
No, in fact, I was invited by this prophetic brother in England named Damien Stain, and he wrote about me in this book that they published. And here I was invited in London by this Catholic leader in a Catholic church, a giant church, kind of a Holy Spirit night and a prophetic night. And they still talk about it. I've met people now 16 years later that say, I was in that service you did, and the Spirit of God touched me so powerfully, and my life was never the same. And I'm humbled by that. Here I was just a Protestant, and I remember in the middle of it, they did an adoration to the Holy Mother, whatever, in the middle of the service. And they sort of said, Carl, you know, would you move off the platform now for this bit? So I moved off the platform. They did their adoration thing. And they said, Carl, come back. And then I came back, and I just sort of said, come, Holy Spirit, and then, boom, bodies everywhere.
And did some of this happen in Holland, Germany?
Yes.
Those are the places you were in Europe as well?
Yeah, I did a meeting in Holland, and they invited 65 of the nationwide level Catholic leaders. And I just taught for about 10 minutes and said, the Holy Spirit is fresh. He's here for you. These were leaders that had been through the charismatic renewal in the 70s and 80s and led groups, but they had gone bone dry. Mm. I said, well, the Lord is willing to bless you today. Just as much as he did, he comes in waves. Let's get a fresh wave. So I invited up five of the main leaders of the country to pray with me. And again, we didn't lay hands upon anybody. We just said, come, Lord, bless them. And within an hour, about 62 of the 65 were sprawled all over the floor, shaking, wow, literally under the anointing of God. And my favorite was a 300-pound monk that it took five guys to catch him. Again, nobody touched him. It was just sort of come Holy Spirit. And he went down and all five guys went with him. And the floor went thud-thud. And it was just glorious. So I've been really humbled to be in many circles and see God move.
And you've been beyond just, you know, Western Europe?
I have. I've had the privilege of serving the Lord in many nations around the globe, including as far east in Asia as Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. I remember a moment in Kazakhstan in the middle of nowhere, where a young girl of 8 had heard me speak and had received the Holy Spirit through what I was doing and invited me to come to her mother's house just to pray for her mom's leg that was broken because her mom couldn't work, didn't know the Lord, her mom and dad. So I went out to the countryside in the middle of nowhere, literally, walked in this poor little house in Kazakhstan, and her husband didn't speak any English, she didn't speak any English, I didn't speak any Russian. The closest any of us could come to communicating was the husband spoke German, and I had 1 year of German in school, so I could talk a little bit. And I went just, Lord, touch her leg. And I went and laid my hands on her leg, and boom, the power of God hit her, and she fell down on the couch completely out in the Lord. The Lord was healing her leg in the meantime. Right. And the husband just pointed to her and said, schlafen. You know, the best he could do was basically in German saying, she's asleep, yes? And I kind of nodded, okay, if that's how you want to think of it, yes. And when she got up, she was healed. And from that, they committed their hearts to the Lord, and I believe, wow, a little mini revival broke out amongst them. So I've been Mexico, Canada, South America, to Guyana, all over Europe, and then up to Sweden and all over the place.
You've been listening to In the Name of God from Kingdom Come Trust in Belfast, Northern Ireland. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, go to the partner page under radio on the Kingdom Come Trust website. That's www.kingdomcome.org.uk. You can make a monthly contribution or a one-off gift there. Join us again next week for more music, news, and the second part of that inspiring interview with the Viking on Fire for the Lord, Carl Anderson. Slán agus bonnach here. Bye and God bless.